Thanks, Tim and Ray, helping us out this morning in worship. We're continuing in 1 Corinthians 15. We're looking at the resurrection the next few weeks up until Easter. And kind of a neat chapter, how that really lines up as we've been going through 1 Corinthians, how it lines up that we end up on chapter 15. Because I didn't really plan it that way initially, but as I saw toward the end of last year, as I was working on planning out the messages for the new year, I thought, hey, this is going to work out really well, that by the time we get to Easter, we can do 1 Corinthians 15, which is all about the resurrection, because normally you only spend like one Sunday on the resurrection, right, and all the implications, so that's kind of neat. All right, let's open up the Word, and let's pray before we get going. Father, again, keep people safe out there and make wise decisions out in the roads. And for Chris and Naomi in Syracuse, pray that they're safe and just make a good decision on what they should do for tonight. And I know Justin and Uriah are in Ottawa and others. Lord, just pray for safety on the roads. And again, thank you for your word. Thank you for those who came out today and just for the encouragement that is for us here. And again, speak to us through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Apostle Paul began chapter 15 with a reminder of the gospel, right? What's the gospel, right? Christ died for our sins, verse 3, according to the scriptures, that he was buried. And we talked about scriptures, also according to the scriptures last week, even though he doesn't say it, it's implied. And we saw verses about Jesus dying in the Old Testament. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul wanted to show how intricately these three are united. You can't separate the three. You have to have all three. But is the point he wants to focus on, of course, is the resurrection, which is the real issue he wants to point people towards. And when Paul says Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, he didn't mean he was resuscitated like Lazarus and the widow of Nain's son and Jairus' daughter. Like they came back to this life. They aged and then eventually died. They came back into this body. He's talking about Jesus died, was dead, and now he's in a new, glorified, resurrected body. This is what Paul's talking about, in a body that will never be destroyed. See, the belief that you could physically exist after death was actually not a popular one in the day of the first century, and especially in the Greek world. Now, it was a Jewish belief. We see that in the Gospels, where the Pharisees believed in a bodily resurrection, but the Sadducees did not. And so this is a predominantly a Jewish belief. And so many people, especially in the Greek world, and we'll talk about that in just a second why, did not believe in a physical existence after death. And so Paul expands on the resurrected Christ, and he lists, right, last week, numerous eyewitness accounts. You know, these people saw Jesus walking on the earth after he died, looking like Jesus, but in a new body. And that is crucial to the Christian faith. If we were to ask people today, you're just maybe stand in the street corner and ask people as they walk by, you know, and say, what do you believe happens to us after we die? You know, we would hear answers like, well, we don't know. No one knows. We would hear answers like, well, we don't go anywhere. We just cease to exist. That's a pretty popular one. Or some people believe we come back to this world existing as something or someone else, reincarnation, or, well, we become angels or spirits, and we float around somewhere in some other dimension, or we go to heaven and eat Philadelphia cream cheese on clouds, right? See some commercials about that. That doesn't sound very exciting to me, right? But only a few would suggest that we get to live in new bodies on a new earth, which is what the Bible tells us. And most of those people who would say that are born-again believers in Jesus Christ. However, there are some Well, some cults who believe that as well, except they don't believe you get there through faith by Jesus Christ. But in the first century Greek world of Paul, the philosophies of Plato had impacted the people's beliefs and thinking about the afterlife. Well, what did Plato teach? Well, Plato taught that the soul and body were completely separate from one another, and that at death, when the soul and body separate, the soul gets to live in its, it gets to enjoy eternity forever in its spiritual realm, which is what it was designed for. And so the idea from that came, well, while we're on earth, let's just focus on our minds and not so much our bodies. And so what came out of that was the idea that you could live any kind of life you wanted with your body, you know, sin all you want, because it really doesn't affect your mind, which is ridiculous. But we see this actually teaching affects the church, and John writes this in 1 John, all about this whole thinking that what we do with our bodies is completely separate from what we do with our minds, and that's ridiculous, of course. And of course, Paul disagrees with that because the body and soul are connected even beyond death. And the reason why he says that is because he had proof, and the proof is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are soul and body, and yes, there is a separation from our physical body here, from our soul, but we will get a brand new eternal body one day that will look very similar to what we look like now, so that we're recognized, but is indestructible. And we will live in a perfect earth where we will never sin. Right? Amen? And all the people, all 18 people said amen. All right, so what was Paul saying here? Don't let the culture transform your theology. Make sure the theology transforms the culture. Because he says, if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, and he writes it in such a way that, and he has, obviously, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So what does Paul do here, and what should we do to make sure that the Bible is transforming our thinking and the culture around us, and not allowing the culture to transform our thinking? Well, we got to keep teaching the truth, right? Got to keep teaching the truth to each other, to others as well. And Paul's going to keep preaching that Jesus bodily rose from the dead, which tells us what eventually happens when believers die. We are going to have new physical bodies, just as Jesus has a new physical body, resurrected, and it'll be perfect. And this is why Paul gave so many numerous proofs to the fact that Jesus was witnessed as living after he died. So, since Jesus resurrected, Paul says Jesus' resurrection is proof of our own resurrection one day. And so, some of the believers who were influenced by Plato's thinking believed that they still had the idea that we don't have a physical existence after we die. And Paul's saying that can't be true, because Jesus died and rose and had a physical body. And if he did that, then anybody who believes in him will also have the same. And so he starts to talk about this domino effect. If you as a believer don't believe that, then this, if you take that to its logical conclusion, this is how all the house of cards fall. And so he starts listing these things. Again, they're influenced by Greek culture, right? And this is what their thinking was like. But only believers in Christ, right? We know the truth. And so when we accept Christ, here's what Paul's getting at. So a lot of these people accepted Christ, right? That's great. But they're still allowing the culture to influence their thought, their thinking. And as we accept Christ, what do we need to do? We need to grow in Christ. We need to allow the Bible to change the way we think about things. Paul said in Romans 12 too, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of our minds. And then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that doesn't happen overnight. We get that, right? It takes time to grow. You know, when you've believed one thing for so long, and all of a sudden, right, you get saved, you're confronted with a lot of ideas that you've had over the years that now you've got to wrestle with to say, okay, what is true? What is true? One example is that Christians still wrestle with today is evolution. Evolution, right? When you read the Bible, you understand that the Bible teaches that the world did not become the way it is today out of evolution, but God created the world, you know, thousands of years ago, not millions of years ago. And all that thinking has conformed our minds if we've grown up with that. And now we get saved. We're like, wait a minute, what does God say? And so we've got to wrestle with these things and we've got to come to understand some of the things that we hold to may not be true. We have to allow Scripture to inform us. We got to make sure the culture doesn't transform us. We as believers need to be careful and avoid what Jesus said was becoming slow of heart. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? He appeared later that day to two guys walking on, you remember the name of the road? Sort of an E. Emmaus Road, right? He's walking on the Emmaus Road, and they're downcast, or they're left Jerusalem, they're walking home, and Jesus appears to them. They don't know it's Jesus. And Jesus says to them, why are you guys downcast? What's wrong? And they said, well, are you the only person who hasn't heard these things? And Jesus is like, what things? And so they say, well, you know, Jesus, who we thought was a prophet and the hope of Israel, basically who we had put all our hope and trust in, well, he did all these amazing signs and wonders and miracles, but he was killed and he died. But the women, right? The women went to the tomb this morning and they found that the tomb was empty. And they said they saw angels. And they said the angels said, he's risen. He's not here. And then some of our own companions, probably a couple of the apostles, right, had also gone and said the same thing. And if I were Jesus, I would have said, duh, you just explained the gospel, right? And he said, how slow of heart you are to believe, right? How slow of heart you are to believe. Yeah, how foolish, man, you foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then come into his glory, right? What's Jesus saying? He says, the word of God, right? The word of God says these things would happen that way. And that's what Paul is saying here. This is what the word of God says about your resurrection and Jesus' resurrection. We're all going to have perfect bodies one day if we know Christ. If these are things that we're still not sure on, right? What are some other things that we're still not sure on in the Bible? Well, we need to keep growing and understand and wrestle with the things that the Bible tells us are true. And that's not always easy because we've had well-meaning pastors, well-meaning Bible teachers, well-meaning parents and grandparents who maybe had something wrong. And they shared that with us. And you come to the Word of God and you say, but I thought Mom or Grandma or my pastor from that other church, they always said this. And as I'm reading the Bible, it actually says something else. And that's hard. But you always have to come to the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? And you have to wrestle with that. And you have to know and believe what the Bible says. You know, when we stand before Jesus one day, he's not going to test us on how honoring we were to our parents to some degree. That's good. Honor your parents, respect your parents and your elders and all that. But not to the point where we agree with them just because they're our parents. We have to agree with what Scripture says. says, even if maybe someone we loved and care about taught us wrongly. And that's hard. We need to grow. We need to grow spiritually all the time, right? Grow in the Word. Let the Bible inform our culture, not the other way around. So now Paul points out this domino effect of if you have a wrong idea of Scripture about something and you hold on to that, other things are going to collapse because of that. And so he says in verses 12 through 19, he shows us how bad theology has significant consequences. See, when you're wrong about one thing, it can lead you to be wrong about many things. And so this is what he does here. He talks about the resurrection. He says, if you don't believe that we as believers have a physically resurrected body one day after we die and spend eternity with God, then that has all kinds of serious consequences. It's a domino effect. And so he uses Greek logic thinking. All right? So he's using their own kind of mentality. He says, okay, let's assume for now that we don't physically rise. Okay, if we don't physically rise, he says a number of things. First of all, he says, if we are not physically resurrected one day, then he says, Jesus' life and ministry was meaningless. What? That's what he says. He says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, us, then Christ has not been raised. Okay? So this is the whole point of Jesus' rising from the dead, to give us the assurance that we too will rise from death one day and physically exist in these new perfect bodies like Jesus. And so Paul says, if we doubt that, he says, that means we doubt Jesus rose. The two are inseparable. You can't doubt the one and hold on to the other. Because if you doubt we will physically be resurrected one day, then what Jesus did doesn't make sense. And what Jesus did was meaningless. And if Jesus didn't rise, okay, so now then he hits another domino, right? If Jesus doesn't rise and we don't rise, then our purpose is lost and we're liars. Verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. See, if we're proclaiming a gospel that doubts a physical resurrection, then we're not telling a full gospel. And if we tell people about Jesus, but don't believe everything about Jesus, which is what Paul's getting at here, then why do it? What's the purpose of that? And if we're not telling the truth about the resurrection, okay, this is the next domino. If we're not telling the truth about the resurrection, then how do you know your sins are paid for? Well, we won't. See, to deny a physical resurrection, Paul says, means our sins will never be paid for. For if the dead are not raised, and Christ has not been raised either, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. See what he's doing here? He's taking the logical, he's using an argument in a logical manner. He's saying, okay, if you don't believe this, this is what falls. This is what collapses. What assures us, okay, what Paul's saying here, what assures us our sins are paid for if Jesus didn't conquer death and have a physical resurrected body? A body that is no longer affected by sin. That's what we're looking forward to, right? And those who fall, and what about, and so then he says, and those who've already died, who are believers, right, those who've fallen asleep, well then, he says, logically, they're gone. They're lost forever. And those who've fallen asleep, verse 18, in Christ are lost. Again, it's a logical argument. Paul's taking their so he says, if what you say is true, if we don't physically resurrect, then all these house of cards come tumbling down. If there's no bodily resurrection for believers, if there's no assurance of the resurrected Christ, then we can't be certain of our own, which means the proof that one has victory over death and sin is in doubt. So the domino effect continues, and logically, then Paul says about those, okay, what about us then, right? If those who have died, okay, what about the guys like us who are still alive? He says in verse 19 that we who invest our life in Jesus Christ are to be most pitied. Why? Because we wasted our life telling people they can't know what will happen in the next life if there is one. So then the consequences, so all these consequential results for those some who say they believe Jesus rose from the dead, but we won't. Paul says, okay, logically, then all these things collapse. That's how important it is to believe that what Jesus did for us assures us of a resurrected body in the future. And so he comes back to this in verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The truth, right? The truth always changes everything. The resurrection. And so now Paul's going to do the opposite. He's going to show how the positive consequences of the true fact that since Jesus rose from the dead physically results in our receiving a new, indestructible, never to decay body for everyone who places faith in Jesus Christ, he says. Now he's going to talk about the blessings and the positive things about that. See, the sad thing about this, the domino effect of the consequences of believing the wrong thing, right? He says, if people trust in themselves or some other religion or some other Savior's message that contradicts Jesus, then they have no hope and no assurance of a future with God. Because they've invested their lives in pursuits that have nothing to do with the biblical gospel, then they're the ones who are to be pitied. Because they will not only lose out in eternity, they will have discovered they have wasted this gift of life that God gave them in the first place. Because God created all of us uniquely in His image, sends His Son to die for everyone, proved there's life after death in a physical body that can never perish, and even sent people to share the gospel with these folks who have chosen to reject the gospel. And as a result, it will be found that they are the ones who are to be pitied because they rejected the gospel. See, saying you don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ or you doubt the existence of God and a life with Him forever is like denying there isn't gravity. You can deny gravity all you want, but you can't make a move in life without it. Simply and similarly, you can deny God, but you really don't understand that you actually don't make a move in life without the evidence of God's handiwork all around you. So let's not stop sharing the message of the gospel, right? Yes, some will doubt, as Paul says, but some will believe. And they will come to realize what great domino effects of blessings are in store for them. Let's finish reminding ourselves of these things. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the truth of your word. We are grateful that Jesus rose from the dead, which assures ours as well. Father, we need to grow continually in the word of God. And there are things that we'll be challenged with in life, and there are things that we hear all around us, education circles, leaders around the world will be say things and do things, and we have to measure all these things with the Word of God. Are these true? Are these right? Our culture has so many messages that are so confusing and so contradicting to your Word that we have to work hard at constantly being careful that we're not transformed or conformed, sorry, to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we know what you say. We know what your will is. Father, I pray for all of us, young and old, could constantly continue to come to the Word of God, growing in it so that we can make wise decisions that would help us to become more honoring and more godly people. Help us in our communications with the unsaved to graciously show them what the Word of God says. So many people are not prepared for life after death. They're going to be very surprised to find out all their hopes, all the things they live for on this earth result in nothing. Lord, help us to show them Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.